Everyone needs help.
Focus on preventing injuries and not just being reactive and treating them after they've already occurred.
We can't do it alone, so we go to someone we trust.
I'm here to help people. That's why I became a chiropractor in the first place.
Someone with the knowledge and care we all appreciate.
Quick fixes don't have the positive and lasting effects that we really want.
Dr. Tim Whiting is here to offer you a mix of sports and care, all wrapped into Wellness with Whiting.
Welcome here to Wellness with Whiting on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop. The free WakeUp Call DT app that you can get by going to WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile, M-O-B-I-L-E. And make sure that once you go there, you just save it to your home screen of your phone, your iPad, your tablet, whatever you have. Make sure you save WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile. For every single show, and it will update itself. There's over 500 shows on there, including every single episode of Wellness with Whiting. And on WakeUpCallDT.com, you can listen, watch, and read. Every show is on there, along with the opportunity to read articles and watch videos, including what it's like to make your own taco in Central New York, which is pretty awesome. So, without further ado, I want to welcome in with a transition that makes no sense from tacos to a doctor, a chiropractor, and someone who has an all-around knowledge of great things in Central New York when you can help people around the country and around the world, someone who is constantly looking at medicine and different techniques to help you rehab and preventative care, getting in front of it before it happens as opposed to reacting to it, and that's Dr. Tim Whiting. How you doing today, Tim?
Not too bad. Nice weather we got out, nice fall day, so enjoying it while we can.
Absolutely. You got to enjoy the fall weather, and, you know, it's definitely, we took a week off. I was in New York City for New York Comic Con, and it was a, you know, for the sports, or for the comics and entertainment side of my company, I should say, and saw a lot of interesting characters. If anybody's wondering why my voice sounds a little bit different, don't run out of the subway, so just walk. Walk everywhere, and so, but no, it was a great time, it was a lot of fun, there were a lot of characters, and now it's good to be back here with Dr. Tim Whiting, and we, on the show, if this is your first time listening, we talk about, you know, kind of to start off the show, some things that are going on in life in general, some questions that I pose to Tim to start the ball rolling on things that are affecting a large amount of people, different things that are going on, or something that's very unique. We try to reach out to you, and you know, we know that there's people out there that are hurting, people out there that have family members that might be ailing, and trying to talk about some of those different things to help. And then after that, we go into your fantasy football injury report, and we break it down, and we really give you more than just a toe injury or an elbow injury. We try to extend it and give you an opportunity to really understand what's going on with your favorite team, your favorite players, and your fantasy football roster. So, it's all coming up in Wellness with Whiting, as always. But we're going to start here, Tim. You're a chiropractor, but you know about wellness in general, and you know how to help people out in general. When the seasons change in Central New York, and people who have allergies, asthma, whatnot, whenever fall runs in, whenever that weather goes from sunny and warm to sunny and cold, bodies change rapidly. I am a victim of that. How much do you know about that, and is there any way to prevent the annual sinus infection?
So definitely when seasons change, we seem to notice it most with the up and down weather. Kids getting back to school is another big one. They come in contact with a bunch of other kids, and they bring it home to their family and parents, and it seems that September, October really kind of trickle through. I've seen it in my office a lot, canceling appointments because they've got to take their kids to their primary care doctor to get checked out for strep throat, for stomach bugs, for everything. It's just that time where everyone's kind of getting exposed, and we get into holiday season where you're around a lot of family and friends, Thanksgiving, Christmas. So it's, you get a lot of exposure where during the summer, it's warmer weather, you don't have to worry about things as much, you're kind of outside a lot doing more. Also during the fall, your heat comes back on, you got a lot of dry air around your house, so things like that aggravate a lot of things, whether it's the sore throat, the sinuses. And so you'll see a lot of strep throat, a lot of sinus infections, stomach bugs, some viral things, and obviously the flu is the big one right now. They're promoting the flu vaccine, and I've got my concerns about that. Last year's flu vaccine, they said, was 16% effective. They believe that this year's strain is going to be better. I always advise people, if you're going to get the flu shot, really the only people that need it are the elderly, people that have a chronic condition, or the very young. And even the very young, I question if they need the vaccine or not. It's really about staying healthy to begin with. You know, washing your hands is a huge thing. Just regular soap and water. You don't need to use anything antibacterial, whatever. It actually promotes more bacteria, but staying hydrated, taking in all your essential vitamins and minerals, huge things, vitamin D, vitamin C, you'll hear a lot about, and then natural things. You can do echinacea, is a natural one for things like that when you start getting a cold. We could do a whole show on just different supplements and stuff to do, to take, but definitely vitamin D is huge in upstate New York. You don't get enough of it. Almost everyone's deficient. Mostly we get it from the sun and your body makes it. So being in cloudy upstate New York, we don't necessarily get all of it. So vitamin D is a huge one.
So that's probably why when people travel down to Florida, or in my case, I lived in Florida for almost 2 years, I felt a lot better, and I felt like my allergies didn't bother me that much down there.
And they don't have as big of a change in the seasons down
there.
One, your immune system's better. Two, you don't have that big sweeping up and down in temperatures.
And you don't know when you have a fever because you're always hot.
Yeah, exactly. So it's always hot and humid down there, so you never know. So that's why you'll see different things. If anyone's got any questions, hop on our Facebook page. Look up Stirp Chiropractic and Wellness Center. I actually just posted a bunch of stuff about antibiotics and the flu vaccine and things if you want to check on that. Or feel free to message me there on that page, or personally message me my email, twhiting4@gmail.com, and I'll get back to you. We've got a lot of great stuff at the office that we use natural-wise, so we don't have to overdo the antibiotics and stuff.
I'm going to ask you this selfishly, but there's a lot of people out there that have it. I can probably thank my dad, who, let's say maybe 10 years ago, every fall started getting a sinus infection. This would be my fourth year in a row. So, you know, it's in your head. It's, you know, you're coughing up awesome stuff. You know, it was kind of like a few days late for Comic-Con, because it's kind of cool. I mean, it looks, you know, it's alien-ish. But, you know, so I guess I missed the boat on my costume. But for a sinus infection, here's me. I have Hispanic blood and I have Italian blood. And both of them are known to have hard heads. The Hispanic stereotype is that we don't go to the doctor. I prefer to not have to go. I don't like being around other sick people. I will do everything I possibly can to keep myself out of having to go to the doctor. So, and owning your own company, I mean, every time you go to the doctor, it's on you. So, my question to you is, with a sinus infection, is there something that I can do for myself to get better and get healthy that doesn't involve a big bill doctor visit and then going from there?
Yeah. So a sinus infection mostly comes from allergies. You've got something that you're responding to, your sinuses are filling up, and what happens with that, you get a lot of mucus up there, a lot of congestion. And then bacteria gets stuck in that, and that's why it starts to be a big issue. So the congestion leads to excess bacteria, which leads to the actual infection. And then
I wish I had you around when I was growing up, man. We're almost the same age, but where were you?
Yeah. And then when you're sleeping, all that nice stuff in your sinus tract drips down into your chest, and so that's when you end up with a chest cold on top of that.
Right.
Good thing is it is bacterial. Your body takes care of it by itself. There's no need for shots. You can get an antibiotic if it's real bad, but a lot of times overprescription antibiotics lead to more issues down the road with bacteria and resistant strains of bacteria. Again, that could be a whole other show. But naturally,
I had a sinus infection last year. I know, it was 2 years ago. It was a sinus infection that led into the flu that led back into a sinus infection.
Yeah. So you do get that up and down. And someone with you, I know you've had sinus trouble before.
Yeah.
A lot of it's narrow sinuses, so it's a kind of a different thing. So for you, you know, staying hydrated, huge. using nose sprays just to keep the sinus tract moist so it's not dry and helps flush some of it out. And using
Which I have seen works the best.
Yeah, and then if you have what's called a neti pot, if you ever heard of those, it's kind of a way to flush out your system. You can find them in a lot of your local stores. Even Wegmans, Walmart will have these little neti pots. And you put like a salt mixture into them with water. It's not the most comfortable thing, but you kind of tip your head over a sink, pour the water up one nostril, and let it drain out the other side. It's all connected, and it kind of flushes everything out, coats it with the salt water, which draws moisture up there, very similar to a nose spray, but actually gets in there a little bit more. And then using steam as another one to kind of help moisten the area. So it's really keeping them moist, keeping hydrated. And keeping up on, you can do some supplements and things as well to, you know, your vitamin C's are always going to help with that.
So, like, because that was one thing I was going to ask, is I have vitamin C and you know, just the one tablets that are, you know, mm-hmm. flavored, whatever. I mean, is that, so, in a typical day, because I've had Sudafed, I've had people say use Alka-Seltzer, mm-hmm. I have vitamin C. So, in a typical day for me, like, let's say here we're talking in the studio, it's earlier. What should I go through today for me and other people that have a sinus infection? What should be kind of my path of the day? What would be the best path?
Yeah, so I would do vitamin C a couple times throughout the day. Definitely do one right in the morning. I prefer the vitamin C packets. I try to go powdered with anything if you can, or liquid when anytime you can. They're just more easily absorbed.
And so, can you get those at
regular? Yeah, Wegmans, Walmart, okay. Any kind of store, Kinney's, you know, all those drug stores. So the vitamin C, the emergency package that you see, they'll have flavors. They'll have a bunch of different ones.
There's flavors. I am a child in that sense.
You mix them right in your water, and you fizz up, and you actually got a good drink. Or you can just do regular lemon, lime, orange in water. That's actually got a lot of it in that, even more sometimes than you can get. Use a couple chunks of each lemon and lime in your water, and it'll help naturally get you some vitamin C. So if you want to go more of that route. So I'll start with that right in the morning. Also get a good vitamin D supplement. When you're looking for vitamin D, you're looking for, if you turn it to the back, what's vitamin D3, and it's called cocalciferol is what it'll say in parentheses. But D3 is the form that you want. It's the active form. In New York, you can take around 2 up to even 5,000. They're called international units, not milligrams, in vitamin D. So 2 to 5,000 IUs of that will usually be good as a regimen once a day to really help boost your immune system. And then using steam in the morning, or that neti pot in the morning, and again at nighttime before you go to bed to kind of clear it all out, would be the natural way. You know, Sudafed's okay. That's more for the actual allergies and stuff, and I think you kind of passed that. You're to the infection where I don't think you need it. Naturally, for allergies are what causes a histamine reaction. Your body gets an allergic reaction to whatever it's come across. So natural ways to fight that are actually with calcium. If you take in enough calcium and there's enough of it in your body, it actually competes with the bonding sites for histamine. So the histamine can't bond and cause that inflammatory and that reaction pathway. So taking enough calcium is one way to actually prevent that histamine reaction. So there's a lot of things you can do, but that's some of the basics.
Because I think that's, I mean, at least for someone like me, I'm always, and I know that you're big on this too, that, you know, we're a pill-popping society and you're trying to get away from that. So am I. And my grandmother, for the people who don't believe in this, my grandmother is 98 on her way. She's a couple months away from 99. She's actually, on the day that we're recording right now, exactly 2 months from being 99. So she has to take some stuff now, but I mean, she wouldn't even take Tylenol. She just, I'd fight the headache off. And her body, she constantly was training her body. So for me, I don't like to run to the doctor because, number one, last year I don't think any of the medicine worked. You know, I feel like my sinus infection was prolonged. So I'm not telling people if you have a broken leg, go to the doctor. But what I'm saying is, you know, I am all about what I think you're about, Tim, which is training your body to fight it. And knowing that it's going to come, you know, I knew October was around the corner, and I was like, don't piss me off, body. Like, I'm good, I've been better, you know, I'm strong with this, and then, you know, you kind of go through some stuff, and, you know, I mean, I didn't get a ton of sleep at New York Comic Con, did a ton of walking in New York City, it's very cold, so I'm standing all the time, my body had really no time to relax except for when I slept, so, you know, kind of going through all of that, but, you know, I think it's important for people that are listening in to know that, you know, there can be some remedies, and would you say that, you know, with me having a sinus infection, with, you know, taking the vitamin D3, with the vitamin C powder, with the neti pot, that type of stuff, that should be able to kick it? I mean, is that like a typical way that other people kick it?
Yeah, it's the natural way to do it without being thrown on antibiotics, which a lot of times aren't going to work because there's so many different strains of infections, so many different bacteria out there. And a lot of things are viral, and that's what you get put on. You know, you get the flu, and you get put on a what they call a broad-spectrum antibiotic. The flu is a virus, and they're putting you on this antibiotic hoping that they'll proactively fight anything that you could get while your immune system's down, which is kind of dumb because then we get all these super bacteria out there. So there's really no need to do all these antibiotics, especially when you're younger, you're at kind of your healthier stage of your life. Your body's going to fight it and do what it's best. So you want to support your body's ability to do that naturally, which is with some of those supplements, which is with rest, water intake, and just let it get through it. And then next year you'll have a better resistance to whatever bacteria it was that you came across.
So if you do it naturally, if I'm doing it naturally like you said now, then next year my body should be like game time.
Yeah, if you can be proactive, you know October is your month where you get it. So through September, through early October, start getting on a good regimen where you're getting better sleep, you're making sure your fluids are in, you start doing the vitamin C and vitamin D early and try to prevent some of the stuff from coming on. And knock, even if you do get it, hopefully knock a couple days off it where it's not the whole month you've got it. You know, you know, things are going to happen. People get sick, but there are a lot of ways you can do things, and each person is different. You know, you may respond to vitamin D better than somebody else. Someone else may respond better to zinc, which is another thing you could take. So there's a lot of different ways, a lot of different things. I'll actually write something up, and we can post it. I'll post it on my page, and we'll make sure it's on Dan's page too. But some of the natural supplements that are out there and what they do and why people use them, so we can do something like that so you guys can see it all on paper, because I know I threw a lot at you right there.
So even though I'm in it, I'm 3 days in it, so to speak, I could still kick it with what you're talking about.
Okay. Hopefully we can like knock a couple of days off it and make you feel better.
That would be phenomenal. Because it kind of goes in and out. You know, there's those days where you're like, ugh. And then there's days like today where, you know, everybody that's listened to me for a long time, I've been doing this for almost 13 years, everybody that listens knows that, you know, I love what I call the call crew for Wake Up Call. And, you know, they're amazing people. They're extremely awesome supporters. Everyone that doesn't support what I do, I don't personally like you, but I love the fact that you helped me to fight for what's good because I love pissing you off. And, you know, but I think we all do. I think we all like pissing off people who are just rude and unhappy, because not a happy person do I know that picks on somebody else. So if you're picking on people on social media, I really think very, very lowly of you. But, and that's some anti-bullying love for all the people out there going through some stuff, because, you know, we all get it. But, you know, what I'm saying is with the call crew is that, you know, you make sacrifices. I could have very easily been like, I do not feel good, I don't want to do this, but, you know, I take the energy that I can to do what I can to get out to people. So for everybody that supports Dr. Tim Whiting, as well as myself and everybody that I've had on the show, we thank you for that. We're going to take a step aside here on Wellness with Whiting, with Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor. We're going to come back, we're going to talk about the teams, the players, the fantasy football rosters that you're looking at, the people that you care about, the injuries that are going on, and we're going to link them to your life. So if you're going through a hamstring injury, foot injury, hip, neck, heel, calf, so many different things we talk about, if it's something that's bothering you, we're going to attack it. We're going to definitely attack the knee when we come back around, because I have some questions about the knee and what we can do for that. So that'll be coming up next, along with your fantasy football love and so much more on Wellness with Whiting here on WakeUpCallDT.com. the free Wake Up Call DT app, and I forgot to mention it before, the iTunes free podcast, Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. Search that on iTunes, and you can tag your favorites, download shows, and you can listen whenever you want, and it will update you and let you know whenever anything new has been added. So make sure you get to us on iTunes. We'll be back here in just a second.
This is Dr. Tim Whiting of Sterp Chiropractic and Wellness Center. Here at Sterp Chiropractic, we strive to provide our patients with the highest quality of care in a comforting and welcoming atmosphere. We are not simply pain doctors. We spend time looking at the whole body and address each patient's needs and goals. This usually includes chiropractic adjustments, muscle work, and tips on nutrition and supplementation that fits each patient's needs. We want to develop a plan that promotes overall health and wellness and focuses on future injury prevention. Our office is located at 1628 West Genesee Street in Syracuse. Please give us a call at 315-472-7128 with any of your chiropractic or wellness needs. Hi, this is Dr. Tim Whiting with your tip of the week. Today we're talking why fad diets don't work. Many people have tried to lose weight with one of the fad diets out there, often seeing the results crumble after a few weeks of stopping and the pounds coming right back. The reality is that there's no quick fix. Weight loss and weight control requires a lifestyle change. Making better choices, controlling portion sizes, and exercising regularly are a must. Weight loss is not easy for many, but taking the time to do it right will ultimately result in a healthier you. For more tips and info, look for my link on wakeupcalldt.com.
Back here on Wellness with Whiting, with myself, Dan Tortora, alongside Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor in Central New York. He gives information that is valuable and useful through all of these Wellness with Whiting episodes for people in Central New York, outside of Central New York, around the country and the world. Being a chiropractor means that Tim can help you in a lot of ways with your body. But being an overall wellness professional, which is what I consider Tim, and you know that from listening to the first segment on sinus infections, that, you know, I really wanted to bring somebody on that could help us as individuals, whether we play sports or not, to really just help humanity figure things out. Because, you know, some of us, we get really confused by going to the doctor. Some doctors don't tell us the right thing. For those that are on Obamacare, you might be seeing a doctor, you have no idea who the heck they are because everything changed. So, you know, a really big thing for me and having Tim on is to be able to not only link it back to sports, but link it to your life. And that's been the slogan of my show since I started, where sports meets life. Because anything that I talk about is always for the betterment of whoever's listening, and for myself, and obviously, you know, hopefully for Tim as well. So I'm happy to have Tim here to talk about different things. We talked about sinus infections, which are affecting people all over the world, especially in great Central New York. And now we're going to be looking into linking it back to sports and looking at some injuries that are going on, some things that are happening. One of the things I want to talk about are knee issues. And I'm going to start with the fact that Tim knows that I had a patellar tendon issue. And, you know, my knees, even from when I was a little kid, they will, you know, if I kneel down, they'll pop a little bit. But the left leg, which is my non-injured leg, I did something in New York City. I don't know what I did, but I'm going to talk about this because there's a lot of people that have knee injuries and people freak out and they have knee replacements and then they're worse after. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I'm not saying I'm anywhere close to that point, but I've seen people go through the spectrum. So when I would bend my leg, because I know this is going on with some people, I could only bend it so far before I felt my kneecap, and it was like it wanted to pop. It wanted to just pop, and that's it. And I couldn't really bend it without it hurting. And it happened from when I was kneeling on it just randomly one day. I'm kneeling on my knee. I'm tying my shoes. But it affected me for a good, you know, 4 or 5 days. And then even now, when I turn it and I try to get it to pop, now that I can bend it, it's doing, like, not a crackle, it's doing, like, a louder. So I was just wondering what that means, and you know, to go into knee injuries, because they're affecting a lot of NFL players, and they affect players at Syracuse, and they affect people all the time, and we're going into a colder season, so.
Yeah. So there's a lot that can go wrong with a knee. Obviously, when you're in football, we're looking, basketball, we're looking more at ligament injuries. We've talked about ACL, PCL, MCL, things like that.
Right.
That happen. We also have the patellar tendon rupture, which is where your quad, the big muscle in the front, ties into your kneecap. When you're younger, you get things called chondromalacia patella, the actual patella, your kneecap gets soft and gets aggravated. And then you can get just general arthritis at the knee, whether it's from injury, whether it's from kneeling on it, certain activities that you do, or sometimes even genetics, you're just prone to it. You'll get some arthritis behind the kneecap and get some extra bone formation and wear and tear on the cartilage, which will give you some pain and some of that crackling stuff noise. So that could be after an injury. You can get a little bit of early onset arthritis. But also sometimes when you get that cracking or that sensation that it wants to pop, what happens is that quad is very tight. It ties into that tendon and it puts a lot of pull on your kneecap. So that kneecap's getting held very tight to your femur and to your tibia. And that creates pressure. And that's why that pop usually feels good. It releases. It feels like a relief. So that could be what's going on. A lot of times you'll see that when you get that pulling, that tight sensation in there. And what happens is you probably, when you were kneeling on it, you probably aggravated the tendon, sent a little inflammation. So when you went to bend it, it was catching. Your body didn't want to aggravate that because it was pulling on it. So it's probably where the pain was coming from. And again, from that quad being tight, it wanted to pop a little bit.
Because it's still, you know, it feels, and it's weird. I know I knelt down almost to the ground and I turned it and you just hear like this, you know, like a louder and it doesn't feel like 100%, but it almost felt like what you've done in chiropractic work with the back where you're moving something, you know, when you worked on my back and my neck, some of the things you did, you're like, okay, I'm just going to move you here. And then with the neck, you turn it and you hear that crack. That's kind of what I felt like I needed to do with my knee.
Yeah, exactly. And so the same idea. Anytime you have any kind of joint with cartilage and fluid in it, that popping noise that you get, like you do your knuckles. I use that as a common one because everyone cracks their knuckles and they don't think a big deal of it. So what you're doing is you're creating a vacuum between the air and the liquid in those joints. And then when it releases, you get that popping noise, that audible release. And so that's what happens. Same thing with the knee. You've got a lot of fluid, a lot of air in there. And when you get that noise, that actual movement where that vacuum can release, you get that audible release, which takes some of that pressure out, some of that air gets out of there, and lets that fluid move more freely. So same idea, you're restoring the motion to there and getting the pressure out of the joints. So yeah, it's very similar to any joint on the body and the back.
When you go through an injury to a patellar tendon, or, you know, for me at least, and to a quad, because that, you know, this is happening. Running backs deal a lot with their legs when their knees and whatnot. Mm-hmm. When you're going through this, and in my case, patellar tendon quad, the more I worked it out, the stronger and better my leg felt. Mm-hmm. But now, when I'm walking down the stairs, you hear that little crackle, crackle, mm-hmm. crackle, and it's almost like it's not almost. It is true. I hear it more. The more I worked it out, the more I hear it now. But it doesn't hurt.
Right.
So what can that be attributed to?
That would be more towards that tightness again. That
okay.
The muscle's stronger, it's tighter, it's creating more pull. And so you're getting a little bit more, maybe some grinding on there. Some of the tendons, as long as it's not like an actual grinding noise, that'd be more bone on bone. But those crackle snaps, pops that you usually hear are usually ligaments and
it
tendons.
It kind of just sounds like popping the bubble paper.
Yeah, so it's probably more of the tendon rolling over and snapping. So you probably got some aberrant movement in there that, you know, could be addressed with looking at the foot or the knee or the hip and see what's going on to restore that properly. So that's usually what that is, tendons and ligaments rolling around in there.
They talk about people being flat-footed. What does that do to your body? How does that throw you off it? And what should you do about it if you don't have a lot of arch in your foot?
Yeah, so flat foot, they call it pes planus, or like the term. But if you imagine if your foot's flatter on the inside now, you've got that drop, which if you can mimic it on yourself, you imagine the inside of your foot drops down, which is going to kind of internally rotate the hip and the knee, which is going to put more strain on the inside portion of your knee, so you're going to be more prone to maybe some arthritis on that medial aspect of your knee, as well as some ligament damage, some meniscus tears, things like that. but it also puts a lot of strain up on your hip to try to pull that leg back out. So you can get some hip issues, you can get some what they call IT band syndrome, you can get trigger points all throughout that leg where it's getting overacted. It could potentially lead to ACL issues because your body can't slow that rotation as much, and it's got more rotation to overcome now that foot's dropped in. So you could be more prone to an ACL injury. So really the only way to fix that, if it's a true flat foot, you know, you can do some exercises. They call it modeling the small foot, where you kind of try to have somebody put that arch in there. You're kind of scrunching your toes, like you're trying to bring your big toe towards your heel almost, and trying to create that arch as an exercise. So you can try to do that. Sometimes working on the bottom of the foot on some of that plantar fascia that's tight is enough to restore some of the arch. But if it's a true flat one and you really can't do anything about it, you're going to need what's called an orthotic, a cast of your foot where, not like a cast, like it's going on there, but like a mold where you're going to get some support and it's going to kind of put an arch in there for you. So you've got something that slides in your shoe that is molded specifically to your foot where it can give you the support where you need it. And that will really, over time, give you that arch back, even though it's artificial, but it'll take some of that pressure off that knee. So if it is a true flat foot, seeing a podiatrist is, because they're the specialist in the feet, and what I would call a spinal specialist, they're kind of more of that. Yes, we do orthotics in the office and stuff, but if you go to your podiatrist, you're more likely to have that done a little bit easier and faster, because that's what they do all day.
You mentioned the word arthritis a few times. You and I are young. There's a lot of young people out there that freak out at hearing that, including myself when I have been going through a rehab for my patellar tendon, is that, you know, you hear a little bit of crackle and your physical therapist is like, oh, well, you know, that's probably just a little bit of arthritis. And then I'm going to be honest. I'm always honest with everybody listening. I freaked out. I was like, that's a terrible word. Don't use that. It's scarlet A on my chest. So when you hear arthritis, what does that mean? Because, you know, for people, I mean, it's for people of any age, but, you know, speaking on you and I, for people in their late 20s, early 30s, when you hear, you might have, you know, some early onset arthritis, is that like a death sentence, or how do you kind of handle it?
Yeah, so it's one of those terms that gets thrown around a lot. Anytime you've got something going on with a joint, they want to throw arthritis in there. And really, arthritis isn't even a good term for it, because what that means is inflammation of a joint. And usually there's really not inflammation. Now, there can be with things like rheumatoid arthritis, which is an immune complication. So you'll get that. So that's something specialists will have to take care of. But if you're talking about your regular, what they call osteoarthritis, or degenerative joint disease, these words get thrown in people and people get scared by them. Like it's something big, like you said, like a death sentence. Like, oh my God, like great, I've got arthritis. Like there's nothing you can do about it now.
Right.
Which is a bunch of crap, because it's not a death sentence. Everyone's going to have degeneration. If you looked at our backs right now, if you took an x-ray of my shoulders, knees, whatever, you're going to have some arthritic changes. It's the act of gravity. It's the act of doing things over and over again, your job, moving. It's what happens. You get wear and tear on these joints. Doesn't mean there has to be pain. It doesn't mean that down the road you're going to need a replacement. Sometimes, yes, but most of the time, no. Staying healthy, staying active, keeping moving are the best things for it. Keeping those joints loose, moving, the muscles strong around it to create stability is what's going to prevent excessive degeneration and what's going to keep the fluid in there, the synovial fluid in those joints, keeping them lubricated so you don't get that bone-on-bone that people worry about. You keep everything hydrated and moving properly, and that's the best way to do it. You know, staying active, weight-bearing exercises. If you have really bad joints, sometimes non-weight-bearing like swimming are great to keep the joints moving, take pressure off them, activate the muscles still. So there's a lot of things you can do. And it all comes down to staying active. It really is.
So, you know, everybody looks, and, you know, I know you talk about how fad diets don't work, and it's one of the tips you can find on the team page of wakeupcalldt.com. Go to the team tab and click on Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor. Fad diets, all this stuff. It's really funny because Kevin Smith, from Comic Book Man, a lot of people know Jay and Silent Bob. Mm-hmm. When I was at Comic-Con, he was talking about how he lost, you know, 60, 70 pounds. And somebody asked him how. And he was like, you know, I just, you stay active and, you know, you watch your diet. And they're like, yeah, but like, what did you do? And he's like, you know, you stay active and you watch your diet. Everybody wants that miracle pill. They want that, I'm 400 pounds today. I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to be 190, which would not be healthy for your body. Luther, you know, I mean, in the case of Luther Vandross, who passed away, unfortunately, a few years back, his body would fluctuate to an extreme amount and it would go back and forth. It would be from potentially obese to going toward being too skinny and back to obese and back to too... So, I just thought it was funny that Kevin Smith brought it up that, you know, and you just said it, staying active, you know, taking vitamins when you need them, eating healthy, that's... And Kevin said, he was like, the biggest thing that I did in my diet is I took sugar out. Mm-hmm. He's like, I just took sugar out of my diet, and our bodies as human beings are so addicted to sugar that when you initially take it out, your body freaks out, you know, kind of like you're on a drug. And after a while, your body gets used to it because we're creatures of habit. If, you know, we grew up and never had a cookie and only ate salad, then we wouldn't miss the cookie because we don't know what the cookie feels like. Mm-hmm. So when people are coming to you, when people in general are talking about what can I do, does it really come down to simply watch your diet, stay active? I mean, is this what we're looking at for the average person?
For the average person, that's exactly what it is. People expect this miracle and expect something miraculous to happen without changing anything, you know? And that's, you know, the definition of what they say, insanity is doing the same thing, expecting different results. Like, that's not what's going to happen. The biggest thing is, we joke, move more, eat less. Not necessarily cutting a lot of calories, but eat less crap. You know, that our biggest issue is sugars, refined and processed things. Anything that's been prepackaged, frozen, canned, some of the, like, they're not as healthy versions for you. Anything processed that comes in a package is usually not good. Frozen stuff's not so bad. A lot of those vegetables are flash frozen, which aren't bad for you. And then canned usually has a lot of sodium.
Yeah, because a lot of the frozen berries aren't necessarily sweet when you take them out.
Yeah, they're
just frozen.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's just getting rid of the processed stuff. You know, those quick fixes. Anything that's boxed, anything that's prepackaged is usually...
Are you saying Burger King is probably not...
Yeah.
Now, Burger King, from being a future sponsor, listen, you and I are good. I've been there before.
Let's say fast food in general. We don't have to say any names.
No name. I brought up Burger King because, let's face it, every once in a while, somebody, you know, you want a cheeseburger from Burger King.
Yeah.
But, so fat... Because I hear that from people that, you know... I actually have, you know, people in my family that have been on diets, you know, which, and what the diet was, and I think there might have been a pill or something involved, I don't know what it was, but the majority of the diet, and from what I was reading, was smaller portions, cutting certain things out, and kind of training your body to not want them. Now, where I see the mistake is that this particular person lost 60 pounds or lost 50 pounds in 60 days. Mm-hmm. After losing the 50 pounds, looked really good. Looked healthy. Their head, I mean, it was weird because, like, their head looked smaller. Mm-hmm. You could see that they were from, like, the head down, they were just, like, kind of just the weight was going away. The first day off that 3-month, you know, hardcore, this is how, you know, this is your diet, this is how you need to be eating. The first day that they came off of it, back to all the food they were eating before.
Yeah.
And it's going to put them back in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it really has to be, and I know people don't want to hear this, and sometimes, you know, personally, I don't want to hear it, but it has to be a life decision. And it's not saying don't ever eat a cookie again, mm-hmm. don't ever, you know, go out and, you know, grab a fast food burger, but, you know... There have been years where I can honestly say I got a fast food burger twice in 365 days. Mm-hmm. That, to me, if you're staying active, I got it a couple times, then you do it. Mm-hmm. But if you're going there 4 times a week and then you're sitting on the couch eating it and you're not moving, that's where I think the issue comes in, that people are like, well, you can't tell me I can't eat what I want. And you're not necessarily saying that.
You can do whatever you want, but you're not going to see the results that you think you're going to get from it.
Right.
You know? And like you said, it's a lifestyle change. It's not a quick fix. It's not, let's go on this diet for 3 weeks, for a month, and come off, and links, I lost all that weight, and now I'm just going to go back to what I was doing before that put that weight on.
Right.
It was on there for a reason, and you need to do something long term. You need to eat healthier. You need to be better. You need to move more, exercise. Long term, otherwise it's never going to work. You got to eat more natural stuff, more fruits, vegetables, lean proteins, fiber. And just watch a lot of your carbs. I'm not saying cut carbs because you need them. They're your main energy source for your body, for your brain. But everything in moderation. There really is. Again, if you go to my Facebook page, you can scroll through. I've posted articles all the time about things, about some of the easiest ways to fix things in your diet, in portion control, where you don't have to count calories, the tedious thing of that, and you never know what's accurate anyways. You go off from plate sizes, you go off from portion sizes based off of your hand, things like that. So an easy one, protein should be about the size, per meal, should be about the size of your fist. That's the personal size to you, so about the size of your fist. Vegetables, about two of your fists together. Carbs, probably around a fist again, even probably half of that. Fats, they say about the size of your thumb. But you got to think fats, where do you get them from? Oils, so that's a decent amount of oil that you get it from if you're using an olive oil or something like that.
Right.
Or guacamole or avocado, like a couple slices of that. So you want to make sure you're getting your good fats. You know, your coconut oils, your avocados, fish, things like that, where you're getting them from. So that's just a general guideline. And using smaller plates is huge. You know, you take your typical 10-inch plate that you use, drop it down to an 8-inch plate, a 6-inch plate. I don't even care if you change the food that you're putting on it, but just by dropping that plate size alone, you fill that plate up, and you eat that, and you still feel satisfied because you ate the whole plate.
Where right, because we're trained by eye to eat the plate.
So you figured, I'm not going to waste my food if you have a 10-inch plate, and you're going to eat everything that's on it. But
right.
Now if you just do a smaller plate, and then something as simple as waiting a couple minutes after you eat. Waiting 10 minutes, if you're not completely full, wait a couple minutes after you eat. Drink a little bit more water, and you'll find yourself filling up a little bit faster. So those are some quick tips. Even if you're not going to change what you eat, at least change the amounts of what you eat and control your portions, really.
Because I found that, too, is that if I drink water when I'm eating, water naturally, like, it bloats you. Mm. So when I'm drinking water with my meal, it's not tempting me to want more. It's actually tempting me to feel like I ate maybe twice what I ate.
Yeah.
And you're eventually coming out of it.
Mm.
But before we take our next break here on Wellness with Whiting, here with Dr. Tim Whiting, myself, Dan Tortora, giving you health tips and things that people around Central New York, around the country, and the world need to hear. Things to help you. Not the doomsday, oh my gosh, but the flip side of that, which is the positive, proactive way of looking at things. Last question before this break, as I said. I've been told, now we have been programmed as Americans, to eat a small breakfast, usually a bowl of cereal, to have, you know, a sandwich with a couple sides or a side for lunch, and for dinner to go buck wild. Now, the reversal of that, which I heard a few years back, was eat breakfast like a king, lunch like a prince, and dinner like a poor college student. Are we backwards as a society? Should we eat the most in the morning and get smaller and smaller? Should we still go the way that we know? Is there any truth to either?
Yeah. So they've done a lot of studies where people skip breakfast versus people that eat a big breakfast, and it comes out that there was no difference. In some studies, the people that ate a big breakfast lost more weight. In some studies, the people that skipped breakfast lost more weight. It's very dependent on your body, very dependent on what you're eating in the morning as well. If you wake up and all you have is a cup of coffee and a bowl of cereal or a bagel, you just loaded yourself with a bunch of carbs, a bunch of fast sugars, which are going to spike your blood sugar real quick and then drop you down, and all of a sudden you're starving by the time lunch comes around. That happens with a lot of people because they can't control their sugar as well. Or if you wake up, you have a cup of coffee and a couple eggs and maybe some potatoes or something, usually feel like you're fuller longer, with some fat in it. So it's dependent on your body, really, but just equal size portions throughout the day is fine. They say three larger meals and a couple snacks throughout to keep your kind of blood sugar even, keep your fat burning going. Your metabolism flowing. And then it comes down to your big meal at night. Usually dinner is a bigger meal. In a lot of countries, it's your bigger meal. Sometimes it's lunch. But it depends on how late you're going to be eating it, too. You don't want to be eating, 2,000, 3,000 calories at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night.
Is that the fastest way to gain weight? Because I can say personally that I prefer to not eat late because I feel like my body personally reacts to you're eating after 8 o'clock. If I'm having a big meal, not if I'm having a snack or, whatever, but if I'm eating a big meal after 8 o'clock, I feel like, for me, my body goes, screw you. That's kind of where I get punished. Mm-hmm. Other people might be different, but in general, what is kind of the guideline? Because I know that I think I'm going to gain weight if I'm eating at 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, and a lot of it's, I don't want to say everybody, but for most people, if you're eating that late at night, what do you do afterwards? Either you're sitting down and you're watching TV, or you're going to sleep. You don't burn a lot of calories.
You're not active.
Or if you're eating it during the day, you burn it for a while, you've had time. And yes, you can say the same thing about if you eat at 6 o'clock that you're not going to be doing much either. But, even just walking for 20 minutes after your meal will help. So eating late's never a good thing. And what happens when we eat late is usually we tend to crave things like sugar. People have a late night bowl of cereal or some sugary snack that, they're binge eating at nighttime. That's usually where you run into trouble. So everyone's different. It's really about portion controls, eating evenly throughout the day, keeping your metabolism going with snacks, with healthy snacks in the afternoon, some vegetables. Smaller plates. Yeah, and balance between all of your things. You do need fats, carbs, protein, and they all come in different shapes and sizes and stuff. But you need to do it properly. And again, if you want to go on to my Facebook page and the STIRP Chiropractic, we're always posting stuff about that. You can kind of scroll back through some of the older articles we've seen and ask more in-depth questions, and we can help you out.
That's coming from Dr. Tim Whiting, Wellness with Whiting, with myself, Dan Tortora. We are here on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop where sports meets life. And on the free Wake Up Call DT app, you can download by going to wakeupcalldt.podbean.com/mobile, MOBILE. And you can also find the free iTunes podcast. You go to iTunes, search podcast, and type in Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. I saw one person online that tried to talk trash about me, spelled my name T-U-T-U-R-A. You will never find anything with Tutura, but Tortora, T-O-R-T-O-R-A, you will find it. I just chalk it up to that person being an idiot. But everybody else, thank you for downloading the app. Many of you have found it. I know it's not difficult. I just wanted to pick on somebody that's been bullying people on social media because it's not the right thing to do. So folks, remember, if you have an opinion, you have a thought, you don't like something that somebody said, would you like somebody to try and dismantle you? Probably not. If you do, then you might be Charles Manson or one of those people. I can't find many people in the world that like to be hit with words and or actions. So make sure that you do the right thing, take care of yourself, take care of your body, and learn how to spell some names right. We'll be back here on Wellness with Whiting on WakeUpCallDT.com, the free Wake Up Call DT app, and Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on iTunes.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Whiting with your tip of the week. Today we're talking why fad diets don't work. Many people try to lose weight with one of the fad diets out there, often seeing the results crumble after a few weeks of stopping and the pounds coming right back. The reality is that there's no quick fix. Weight loss and weight control requires a lifestyle change. Making better choices, controlling portion sizes, and exercising regularly are a must. Weight loss is not easy for many, but taking the time to do it right will ultimately result in a healthier you. For more tips and info, look for my link on wakeupcalldt.com. This is Dr. Tim Whiting of STIRP Chiropractic and Wellness Center. Here at STIRP Chiropractic, we strive to provide our patients with the highest quality of care in a comforting and welcoming atmosphere. We are not simply pain doctors. We spend time looking at the whole body and address each patient's needs and goals. This usually includes chiropractic adjustments, muscle work, and tips on nutrition and supplementation that fits each patient's needs. We want to develop a plan that promotes overall health and wellness and focuses on future injury prevention. Our office is located at 1628 West Genesee Street in Syracuse. Please give us a call at 315 315- 472-7128 with any of your chiropractic or wellness needs.
Welcome back here to Wellness with Whiting on WakeUpCallDT.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app you can download for any of your devices by going to WakeUpCallDT.podbean.com/mobile. You can also find the show on iTunes. Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora. You need to search that title. The name of the show, very simple. Name of the show is the name of the free podcast on iTunes. So go to iTunes, click on podcasts, and type in Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora, and you will find it there. Three easy steps. I'm here with Dr. Tim Whiting and myself, of course, Dan Tortora. You've heard us talk about ailments and things that are going on with the seasons, with sinus infections, taking care of your body, dieting, staying active, things that we can all connect ourselves to, as well as the injuries that are coming up now, because some of you listening in have been through these injuries, your former players, or you're a current player, or you're just active in your life and you've gone through an injury. You ever hear about the man or woman that played a pickup tennis game or a basketball game and tore their ACL, or, you know, went through, you know, sprained shoulder and different things that happen when people are out there. You know, we're in a flag football league. We've had people go through ankle injuries and knee injuries there as well. So these are definitely things that are going to help you when looking at your fantasy football roster, your favorite teams, NFL in general, and in your life, and maybe impart some knowledge on somebody else. So I want to make note before we get started here with the last piece of the show that every injury that I consider to be notable for your fantasy football roster is up on the team tab. Scroll down to Dr. Tim Whiting Chiropractor. Tim's page has every weekly injury of every one of the 32 teams affecting your fantasy football roster. So make sure you go there to see all the players that are affected. We're going to spend some time today with a shorter list of the guys affected that I think are obviously having a either positive or negative effect on your decision making. I mean, to know Rob Gronkowski, whenever he's questionable, he's going to play. When Tom Brady has 32 injuries on the injury report, just because I think Bill Belichick is, I'm going to call him an interesting character. That is going to be my way of addressing this, that he puts Tom Brady on there. I don't think it's really legal to say that Tom has a hip injury and a shoulder injury and a knee injury, and then he comes out and, you know, throws 4 touchdowns, 500 yards. But maybe he's just a freak of nature, and I'm still convinced the New England Patriots have something in the water, or they found the fountain of youth or something in the Boston area. But nevertheless, these are fantasy football guys that we want to spend some more extra time on, as opposed to just looking simply at the injury report. These are guys that I really want Tim's expertise to help you in making your decisions this week and beyond. Percy Harvin, I'm going to start with him, wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills. He has a hip injury, but we know Percy to have a lot of issues with, you know, with his head, with staying healthy there. His body has been very fragile, so as much as Percy has some good moments and he can be involved in the return game and in the passing game, when you see any injury with Percy, do you automatically maybe get a little bit nervous for fantasy football owners out there? I mean, we're talking about a hip injury to a wide receiver, so let's start there.
Yeah, with him, he's always been a small guy, but he's very quick. And being a return guy, he gets beat up a lot. And being a receiver, you get hit a lot. So he's been prone, but they've never been really anything that keeps him out long term. He seems to bounce back within a week or two. He'll have a hip injury. He'll come back in 2 weeks. He'll have a shoulder injury. He'll come back. So
it's really the head that's been
usually concussions and stuff. And that we talked about last week. If you go to that episode, we talked a lot about repetitive injuries to the head and stuff. So with the hip, depending on what it is, a lot of times you get what's called a hip pointer. You kind of just get hit in that area, get a little bruised around your hip, the musculature, the bone. That's very common. They don't wear very many paddings up there anymore, so they can stay quicker. So that could be it, as well as some things going down inside the hip with some ligaments, some tightness in the hip flexors and things. So He's kind of a risky player to pick up anyways. Yeah, he can get you points, but if he's constantly up and down. So I don't think this is anything big. They don't seem like they've got him listed for any big injuries. So he's probably just got a week or two of rest and some rehab to get back out there.
If a Percy Harvin is to jump out there with a hip injury now and play, mm-hmm. would you lean on the side of telling somebody maybe stay away from him? Because I just get really concerned with Percy in general, which is why I don't draft him. But on top of that, if he has any sort of injury, I'm always thinking by the second quarter he's going to get pulled. So, I mean, how would you kind of handle it?
Yeah, I mean, you want him in the game. He's still a top receiver. But when you've got somebody that needs to be running downfield constantly with a hip injury, it could slow him down. So maybe just put him out there to take an extra guy up on defense. But really, how productive is he going to be? And that's right. The question, where he might not be productive. He might not play every down. They might have him in and out just to kind of take up space. So it's really going to depend on that. So it's going to be a risk taking and putting him in, especially a receiver or running back with hip. You know, it's not usually a good call.
And I think, you know, from my fantasy football expertise that I've built over the last decade plus, where I'm very confident when people ask me questions, I like to say that 8.5 or 9 out of 10, I'm going to lead you in the right direction. Nobody's perfect, you know, and we all make mistakes, but Percy is a guy that he's not involved enough in the offense to put him out there just for special teams, in my opinion. Yeah. Devontae Freeman, this guy has been a freak of nature. He has definitely shown why he was drafted, albeit not drafted extremely high a couple years ago. Coming out of FSU, there was a time where Devontae Freeman and Jerome Smith were on there as rookies, and the team really bought into Devontae. And I remember telling Jerome, I said, if you stick in Atlanta, don't worry about Steven Jackson, because the man's out before he's even in. But Devontae has really shown himself. They had this guy, Tevin Coleman, start things off, and Devontae's taken over from there. But he has a toe injury. People will want to play him. I mean, there's going to be that, you know, itchy finger on the trigger to play him because he had back-to-back weeks of 3 touchdowns each. He's been crazy good for the Atlanta offense and for the Atlanta team in general. But he has a toe injury, and there was another Atlanta Falcon that played on turf that, you know, Jamal Anderson wasn't doing the dirty bird when he hurt that ACL. So, I mean, it's not an ACL, it's not a knee, but what do you do with a toe injury to Devontae Freeman, knowing that 99% of people are going to play him, hoping to God that he plays?
Personally, I'd play him. I don't think they really got anyone else to play. I don't think he's going to let a toe keep him out. Most times when they write toe, it is the big toe. It's that turf toe we've talked about, a sprain of it. It's not usually, usually they'll put foot or something else if it's a stress fracture, like we've seen in a couple other people. And it's not a knee, it's not a hip. Will it take some off his explosiveness? Possibly. Will it take some off his top end speed? Possibly. But he's such a beast and he's shown so much. I don't think he's going to let a toe hold him back. With that, there's always the option, the risk that something could happen. He's going to aggravate it. But I don't see it being an issue. I think he's going to be out there and I think he's going to play and put up points personally. Injury-wise, anyways, I don't think it's a big deal.
7 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. Devontae Freeman, hard to not play him.
At least worth a flex spot, anyways.
Absolutely. You're learning. Look at that. Some fantasy football. I love it. I love the lingo. Rashad Perriman, wide receiver for the Baltimore Ravens, coming out of Central Florida. He has had what I believe John Harbaugh, the head coach, had called the longest PCL injury ever. He has not played this season, so PCL is something that we talked about, that ACL is going to take the longest, MCL is going to take the second most amount of time, and PCL is going to be the quickest to come back. This man has been injured since the end of July. We now sit here doing the show in October. So we're talking to the end of, from July to the end of August, August to September, and now, you know, we're heading in. So we're talking over 2 months, going into almost 3 months as far as, you know, days-wise, that he's been going through this PCL injury. what does this mean? We've talked about everybody's body's different. I think it comes to play in this.
Yeah.
So how are we looking at Breshad Perriman?
Yeah, they're not releasing much on him. They don't seem like they've done surgery. And for something lingering this long, you're going from July to October, something's up. He's not healing right. It could be, again, to his body. His mechanics are off. His chemistry's off. He's just not getting that proper healing unless they keep trying to put him back to practice and he's re-injuring it. You know, something's going on that they're not fully releasing. So I'm thinking he's got some more issues going on, some mechanical issues that's putting a lot of strain on this. And it could have been a bigger tear than they thought. MRIs are not they're considered a gold standard, but really until you open them up and get in there, you don't know what the condition is. There have been MRIs that show no tears and you go in there and the thing's frayed, and there have been MRIs that show what looked like a terrible tear and you go in and it's been not that bad.
I want to jump in on this really quick.
Mm-hmm.
When I injured my knee, I went in and I got an MRI. And then I got the MRI where they inject the dye into the knee to take a look at it even deeper.
Right.
They never found anything. I think I've had three MRIs, and I've had a bunch of x-rays. But like you said, you don't know everything until you go in.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm really against somebody going in because I've been told, hey, if we open up and we go in your knee, we don't find anything, we can't not go in. We can't reverse that.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you suggest to someone who is kind of in the Breshad Perriman state? Do you go in? And if you don't, because if you don't find anything, that's been something that's made people nervous in general with knee injuries, and it's something that concerned me. Is
mm-hmm.
I keep getting told if we go in your knee, there's no way of erasing the fact that we went in. We might go in, find scar tissue. We might go in and find, and that's what they think there is just scar tissue pushing on my tendon.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you kind of address it? Because opening up the kneecap is a very fragile thing.
Yeah, so it's not like it used to be. It used to be cut you right down the middle of the knee, open it up, and look at everything. It's not like that anymore. They're going to do a couple small incisions. You barely even see them. They'll heal very quickly, and they'll go in with a camera on one end and a tool on the other, looking around, seeing what's going on. And so it's not as invasive anymore. It's not a big deal because they can go in really with just those two incisions, and then that, if they don't have to do anything, that's all you have to heal from is those two. So they're really not damaging much. You're not getting that excessive scar tissue, that overlay. Chances are they go in anyways, and like you said, find scar tissue, clean it up, clean up some meniscus and stuff, clean up around the joints, maybe take some of that constant irritation out there. So obviously it's going to be down to his orthopedist, his team and stuff, but 3 months out, something's going on. If I was him, I'd probably want to take a look at it and get a scope on it and see what's up. And at least, I mean, he's in the NFL. He's got some scar tissue in there, some things going on that they can probably help clean up a little bit. And he'll be, if it's not a big issue in surgery repair, it's not going to put him out any longer than what he's already been out for.
Has any PCL injury that you've seen last to a point where there is no surgery and you're going toward 3 months?
I haven't seen anything, but it depends on the extent of what the tear was and, again, his body, how it's healing. It's apparently not healing properly. It might not be the PCL that's the issue. Maybe the PCL is healed now, but he's got other issues going on with his knee. He's got a chronic pain syndrome. It's very possible after having something this long. He's got atrophy around the muscles in the area because he hasn't been working out as much. So there's a lot of complicating factors where now we're trying to work our way slowly through everything without causing more problems. So it's odd that it's longer. Again, in your every day-to-day person, the PCL is not a big deal, but in NFL and any sports, it's still an issue, and you still need to. It is a big, strong ligament, so when it tears, it's usually an issue because it had a lot of force going into it to make that happen. But, I mean, it is longer than normal, so We got to look at other things too. Like I said, maybe his gait, maybe the way he's walking, other mechanics, strength in the area. And again, if it's a chronic pain syndrome, that pain's a psychosocial factor where you've constantly been told you've had an injury, and sometimes you get just caught in this loop of this pain cycle, and you need to figure out a way to break that, whether it's with therapies or counseling, you know, psychology stuff, that it could be something as much as that, or he's scared to go full on it, so he's holding himself back. You never know, so they're not releasing much on him.
Rashad Perriman, then we can agree don't even have him on the team at this point.
Yeah, I mean, there's no point, and this far into the season, you've already drafted somebody to have on. You didn't draft him to begin with, so there's no point. No one's got him for the most part. You can pick him up if you need, if he does come back, but I wouldn't.
So people in the Wake Up Call Fantasy Football Challenge, there's six leagues. I know a few of you have Rashad Perriman, or you had him, so might be time to say goodbye to him. Just like Jay Ajayi, the running back for the Miami Dolphins, I won't come back until week 10 at least. Julio Jones, every week, he's on the injury report with a foot injury. He's probable, but he's had two huge issues with his he's had two big foot injuries, two surgeries on the same thing. And here we are again with a Julio Jones foot injury and the Atlanta Falcons playing him, not even throwing to Roddy White. They don't believe in Roddy White at all. He's on trade blocks now. They don't care about this guy at all. There were two straight games they didn't even target him once. So it's been Leonard Hankerson. It's been Julio Jones. Julio is the main factor. He's the guy. But we are seeing him on the injury report with a foot problem after having two big injuries that led to surgery. So what do we do with Julio Jones? Because it seems like Atlanta is almost listening to the fantasy fans and going, we got to play him for you, but eventually he doesn't play out the year.
I'd hold on to him now because he's producing, he's the man there, and he's putting up points. You know, you take a risk with any player. You could have anyone in the league that has a freak injury one day and goes out that game. So you never know. He's worth it right now. He plays through it every week. He's been through these foot injuries before. They've worked with him a lot. I'm sure his surgeon, his orthopedist, his trainers know when too much is too much, even though they've pushed him in the years past. So I'm sure they're watching it closely, and they're just always keeping him listed as a safeguard, saying he is injured. We are claiming that he's got an injury. It's not preventing him from playing, from practicing. So I think he's going to play. I think he's still going to do well. You know, as it goes through the season, how much more damage he does to it. He might not do any more damage. It might just be a little nagging issue for a little while. So it's hard to say. He has had those issues in the past, so it's possible it'll pop back up. But right now, I'd hold on to him.
So it sounds like Tim and I are sitting with my same statement that I made for the 2 years that he got hurt. Play him until you can't anymore. Mm-hmm. That's Julio Jones. Steve Smith, senior wide receiver. Out of everybody that we've talked about, notable to spend a little bit more time on in Wellness with Whiting, you can catch the entire injury report on the team tab. Scroll down to Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor, or if you follow me on social media, facebook.com/wakeupcalldt, and on Twitter at calldt, CALLDT. You can find, I'll have direct links to all of these as well. Steve Smith, but like I was saying, out of everybody we've talked about, they're all wide receivers except for Devontae so far. Steve Smith, senior, microfractures in his back. How do we handle Steve? People jokingly say, you know, he's one of the oldest wide receivers in the league. Come on. But he's still a very productive guy. He's very fast. And I think, you know, some injuries that took him out, even though he's been in the league longer, it kind of helped him because he wasn't putting his body through the wear and tear of all those games. I like Steve. I still have Steve on my team. Microfractures in his back. What are we talking about?
Yeah, it's an interesting term that they use, microfractures. What happens a lot of times, you get degeneration in the vertebrae, in the spine. They get very brittle, and you get what's the bottom of one of the vertebrae would be called an end plate. And that's what you see commonly, or what they call an end plate fracture. So that's what sits on top and below the disc in the low back. So something's going on there where that's getting brittle and softer, and the impact that he's getting is causing maybe some fractures in those. So they call him a fracture because they, by definition, are a fracture. Kind of almost like a disc issue where it's going to give you pain and result in spasm. That's usually what keeps him out, is he gets these bad back spasms and they put him up down on the sidelines. And anyone who's had back pain and spasms like that know they can drop you real quick. So it's going to be up to him playing through it. He's played through it before, and he's another one of those guys. He's a beast. I mean, he goes out there and goes hard every week, and he's only going to come out when he has to come out. So I don't see it keeping him out, because there's really no reversing those fractures. There's no surgery for that right now, unless he goes out with full back surgery where they're going to do a fusion, which I don't see them doing until they absolutely have to. So I don't think it's going to prevent him from playing up front. He may have to come out, though, if he gets one of his episodes of the spasms.
He's a carnivore. He goes ham every time. Tyrod Taylor, quarterback. See what I did there? So, Tyrod Taylor, MCL injury. He's not being ruled out. Mm-hmm. Rex Ryan's kind of keeping with him.
Yeah.
But we've talked about the MCL before. If he's questionable, you know, the MCL can be a serious thing, obviously, like we spoke about. So what are we dealing with here if we have a questionable MCL without ruling a quarterback out?
Even though they
picked up another quarterback.
Yeah, probably a light sprain, similar to what Big Ben had, maybe not as severe. So we're looking at a little bit of time here. He probably just got a little bit of a sprain. They're waiting for it to heal up. Problem is, he's a mobile quarterback. He's the guy that scores you points in the air and on the ground. So if you're talking fantasy-wise, would you play him? I don't think he's going to play. I don't think he's going to start, at least. Something happens and he has to go in, but I still don't see him playing this week. Probably, if he's going to do anything, returning next week. But fantasy-wise, I don't think it's a good pick right now as he's healing up. And being that mobile quarterback, this is really going to prevent him from getting up and going, especially a lot of those lateral moves and those cuts. So he's going to take some time to heal and be 100%. Till he's healed, you're looking at a couple weeks, but doesn't mean he's not going to come out and play.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things that I think with him being a mobile quarterback, if he's going to play it back a little bit, him playing it back a little bit is him not being Tyrod Taylor.
Changing his game, and that's not going to be, you know, he's not that. He's been a decent pocket passer, don't get me wrong. This year he's been better than I expected him to be, but it's still not that part of his game. Even if he doesn't go for a run, just scrambling and eluding the rushers, he's just not going to be as good at. And we've seen that with quarterbacks before. You can't elude that rush, and you're not going to put up points.
A guy that's not someone who likes to run and elude the rush, majority of the time, he's one of the best pocket passers because, for the most part, he's had good offensive lines to give him the time. Big Ben Roethlisberger, you brought him up talking about Tyrod Taylor, the quarterback of the Steelers. They say one day at a time. He's taking it one day at a time. But he has a knee injury. He went down kind of awkward on his knee. They checked it. I mean, it wasn't a dirty hit the way that he went down. But, you know, it's one of those quarterback things where he's trying to stand. His leg gets hit one way and his body wants to go the other way and he goes down. You know Big Ben. Big Ben would play with, you know, his arm cut off, bleeding. But what should the Steelers do with him, knowing how important he is and knowing that he has this knee injury going on that hasn't been called a PCL, an MCL. I mean, it's a knee injury. And I mean, we saw the film. What can you say about kind of where he's at?
So things that things we've heard about him were was a sprain to the MCL, not a tear, and a bone contusion. So when he got hit, that force of getting hit, I can't recall if it was a helmet or a shoulder pad or something, bruised the bone a little bit, and then a little bit of a sprain to that ligament. Sprain's probably almost healed up by now. They're waiting longer on the bone contusion, again, being deeper in there. Both are going to take a little bit longer to heal, and just creating pain more than anything. So he's going to have a lot of pain issues going on. He's not on crutches. He's off that walking boot, that cast that he had on. So he is getting out there more mobile. Right now, they're winning, you know, without him, and he's doing great on the sideline, coaching up Mike Vick there, and they're winning. They got the run game going. So if they're smart, and they are, they're not going to play him until he says he's ready to play, until the trainers think he's ready to play.
Right.
I don't see him going in this week. I think maybe in the next week or two we'll have something, but right now he's not going to be in, but he'll be back this season.
So the clock has not struck 12 to bring Big Ben in yet. Demaryius Thomas, wide receiver, has a neck injury that's put him as questionable. We haven't really talked about the neck a lot, so that's one of your areas especially.
Yeah, so probably a traction injury, a sprain to some of the neck muscles. He probably kind of got hit funny. His head went one way, his shoulder went one way, traction some of the nerves in there, and got a little muscle spasm. We've seen him on the sideline before getting adjusted by his chiropractor. It might be more of a common thing for him. He might have some old injuries going on that just take him a little bit more time to heal up. So they do have their team chiropractor that I'm sure is looking out for him and working with him to make sure everything's strong and going. Probably not a big issue long term. He's not like it's keeping him from moving, from running, from cutting. The only thing, looking back for passes maybe, but he's such a dynamic player. I don't see him keeping him out for too long. He can be treated on the sidelines between things. He can be adjusted during the game. He can be worked on, stretched during the game and stuff. So I don't see it keeping him out too long.
We have two running backs with hamstring injuries that are notable here. TJ Yeldon, notable for the fact that he's kind of come on for Jacksonville. He's been steadily improving and getting better. He has a hamstring injury that's marked him as questionable. He didn't have the best game, obviously, against Tampa, but he's been able to put some things together. You know, people obviously are keeping him on the roster at this point, and he is, you know, a couple weeks out from having his first 100-yard game and only playing five games in the NFL. So how do we look at TJ with a hamstring injury, knowing that Denard Robinson isn't really trustworthy back there, Toby Gerhart isn't? So I almost go toward the side of Jacksonville wants to play him, and if he's like 90, 95, you know, let's put him out there. But how are you kind of handling a hamstring injury to a young kid?
Yeah, he's young. He doesn't seem like he's had anything chronic in the past. He's not one of those guys yet that has a lot of injuries going there. But with a hamstring, being a running back, we've talked about it a bunch of times now. You got to be careful. It's very sensitive area, and it gets repeatedly stressed, and it can become chronic if he's not 100%. Questionable, I think, because like you said, they don't have very much strong in the backup. I keep him. I think he's going to play. It might just be a limited. They're going to kind of play
so
it by
ear.
So
he's maybe a flex guy.
Yeah, I think he might play. He just won't be full. But with it being his first one, they don't have him listed as anything serious. He'll probably be back in the next week.
Another running back with a hamstring injury that has been nagging him and kept him out for a couple weeks is Big Marshawn Lynch, which is why I picked up Thomas Rawls, who I thought about picking up anyways. And everybody's like, oh, you know, Dan, but Fred Jackson. And I was like, no. Thomas Rawls, if you watch him, this man can run the ball. He is a strong player, number 34. So, I mean, I suggest a handcuff if you have Lynch and go get Rawls. But what are we doing with Marshawn Lynch? Because he's beast mode. He's this, you know, bad you-know-what mother out there playing his game, but he's been out. So how are we handling his hamstring?
Yeah. He hasn't been anything this season. I got him on my team, and it's been sad to watch this after last year.
I had that gut feeling when I drafted him. I had it.
Yeah,
should have listened.
Yeah, I mean, he's another one of those guys. You look at him, and he's just a monster. His legs are so big, and I think that might be one of the things that's harming him, because his legs are so strong. Every time he goes to explode, he just puts a lot of strain on that muscle, and I think he just keeps re-injuring it little by little. He's questionable again for this week. He's not out indefinitely, but with how little he's been producing anyways when he's been in there, I don't know how much he's going to play. He's one of the ones I'm not positive about. It's the injury is going to keep him limited, but I think the coaches might even keep him a little bit more limited with who they have as their backup. So I don't see it being a season-ending thing yet, but if you want to hold on to him, hold on to him and hope he picks up. But we're getting in-depth in the season here, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do with him yet. I still got him because I love the guy, and I think he's still going to be a competitor when it comes down to it as of now.
But like I said, one of the best pickups, two 100-yard-plus games in the last 3 weeks, Thomas Rawls. And I can say pick him up because I've already got him in some of my leagues, so I can send that out to you. But if you need somebody, he's someone to look at. Carlos Hyde, we went from wide receivers to running backs now. Carlos Hyde, foot injury, he's questionable. Some San Fran fans that came out to Woody's every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Madden tournament, $25 gift certificate on the line. Some San Fran fans that were freaking out about Carlos Hyde. So how do we handle his foot injury?
I didn't hear too much about this one yet. Again, foot, they're not saying toe, so it may be more of one of those stress factors that we see a lot of the times in the receivers and the running backs, that constant impact. And people hear stress fracture and they worry about fracture, but it's just a repetitive use injury. So I'm thinking that's what that is on him. Probably not a huge pick for this week, but holding on to him, I don't see why it's a big deal. He's not listed as anything huge, I don't believe.
Right, and they have Reggie Bush sitting out. So, you know, Carlos Hyde most likely will probably get some type of carries.
Yeah.
Kenny Britt, this man is probably the bionic man at this point. He's had so many injuries to different parts of his body. He's got a shoulder injury now. I never suggest to someone to pick up Kenny Britt. He's had a couple good moments this year. Mm-hmm. What do you do with a Kenny Britt? Because it seems like once he gets on the injury chart, he's on there for the rest of the year.
He's one of those guys that you see with constant injuries, kind of like that Percy Harvin, where something's going on with him. He's always hurt. Something's up where he's a risky pick. He's going to have some moments to shine, and you got to get lucky if you're going to hold on to him and play him properly that week. But he's an injury-prone dude. So to me, I'd be bringing somebody in and doing functional assessments on him, seeing what's going on biomechanically. You could have a lot of things. You could have weaknesses in one area leading to things in the other, and he just seems to be one of those ones that's injury-prone. So I'd have somebody be looking at him, investigating a little bit more as to why he's always got something hurting, you know.
So we look at that, and then we look at another running back. Big issue here is the fact that Jamaal Charles got diagnosed with a torn ACL. That's the death penalty for your season. But Nile Davis is the backup guy. Now, here's my issue. I've had Nile Davis on my team. I had him on my team last year. Nile is very competitive, and he can break a big run, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield, and he can do work. Mm-hmm. But when Jamaal Charles is going at it, it's Jamaal, 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 Jamaal. And every once in a while, and this is one of the hardest things for me to give advice on to people that are playing fantasy football that come to me for this. They say, Dan, do I play Nile Davis this week or don't I? 9 times out of 10, they give it to Jamaal, but there's a couple games, so I should say 8 out of 10, there's a couple games where Nile will just break out and have 2-3 touchdowns. Now he's the guy. So Nile always gets an opportunity every year, either based on decisions by the coaches or injuries to Jamaal Charles. So what are we thinking about this issue, and knowing that Nile's been injured himself, how do people kind of handle the Kansas City debacle? Because, I mean, obviously you got to drop Jamaal, but would you suggest to pick up a Nile Davis that hasn't really broken in this year?
I would. He's still got the same offense. He knows the offense. He has done well with this offense before. He's got the same offensive line. So I think he's going to do okay, better than some of your other options for running backs out there. So if he's out there to pick up in your league, I would pick him because he's the guy right now. You know, there's no what if to play him because Jamaal is going to have a good game. He's out. So this is your guy to go to. So I'd play him because he's your number one right now.
So go after Nile Davis. Finishing up here on Wellness with Whiting to some of these big injuries going on. Another running back, Matt Johns. Our second-to-last guy here, sprained toe for the Washington Redskins. He's questionable. He's kind of come on and been a little bit of a spark on a terrible team. How are we looking at sprained toe? Because a lot of the injury report, you just see toe, but this is a specific sprained toe. So what are we talking about here?
Yeah, it depends on what they're – I think it's their trainers that release these reports, or maybe the team doctor. A lot of times they'll just right toe. They want to leave you hanging, figuring out what it is. Sprain is the most common thing, that turf toe. That's what you're looking at. That's what it is, a sprain of those ligaments. So not a death sentence for the season, a nagging, aggravating thing, yes. Similar to what we were talking about earlier in the running backs, it's not going to prevent them from playing necessarily. It might prevent them from having a standout game. So maybe this week, if you got somebody else that you think can put up points, do that instead. But I think he'll be back in the next week to come.
So we look at that for Matt Johns. I also look at Kansas City, going back to that. Sharkhandrick West has gotten more opportunities, barely, than Nile Davis, but I think Nile still is the guy. It's very hard for me to believe that Nile Davis has only had 11 carries for 27 yards this much into the season. Is kind of sickening, and that Alex Smith is the second leading rusher. But you'd like to think that Nile Davis is going to get his opportunities. He's going to catch out of the backfield because Kansas City doesn't like to throw to wide receivers. But lastly, DeSean Jackson, hamstring injury for him. DeSean is one of those guys that I don't know him personally, so I'm not going to, I can't say this for sure. I'm going to say this from my outside looking in, covering NFL, covering football, covering fantasy football. It seems like when he has an injury that other people would play on, Deshaun, as soon as he gets hurt, kind of babies it and runs away. So he's got a hamstring injury. What are you thinking about with Deshaun? Because I personally never pick him up because I know he's going to get injured. So I don't even wait for those two or three good weeks.
Yeah. I think he does not necessarily baby it, but he does take his time with the injuries. He doesn't want these to be season-ending things, so he's always been one to step back and take time. I don't know if it's him personally or somebody he works with that makes him step back from it, but he does do that, so it's going to put him out for a little bit longer. I think he's already been out for a couple weeks with this issue too, so it could be kind of one of those nagging injuries, and he's not going to be 100%. You know, so he's a risky one every season. You know, he'll have a breakout game and crazy. But since he's left Philly, we haven't seen huge production from him anyways. So if he's all you got and you don't have anyone else to pick up, hold on to him. I don't think he's going to do much over the next couple weeks. So
yeah, he got hurt in the season opener and has been out for a while since then. So Deshaun Jackson, stay away from him. I'm going to rapid fire it and give my best advice, kind of bringing it all together from this. So this is going to be rapid fire, the guys we just talked about. Percy Harvin, sit him. Devontae Freeman, play him. Rashad Perriman, drop him. Julio Jones, play him. Steve Smith, game time decision. Consider playing him in a flex if you need somebody or someone's off this week. Tyrod Taylor, sit him. Demaryius Thomas, play him. TJ Yeldon, flex position if I'm going to put him anywhere. Marshawn Lynch, watch it, but I would pick up Thomas Rawls. Carlos Hyde, I would think you kind of have to play him as one of your, if you have two or three backs, just because Colin Kaepernick's been awful. Kenny Britt, get rid of him. I don't know why you picked him up. Matt Johns, maybe wait a little bit of time. Deshaun Jackson, I'm surprised. I mean, when people tell me he's still in the NFL, I think I have to question that. Ben Roethlisberger, Big Ben, Michael Vick's doing his thing. Wait a little bit of time. We all want you to get better.
Ben will be back.
So that's kind of how I'm looking at it. I want to thank Dr. Tim Whiting for being a part of the show. Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor in Central New York, an all-around wellness expert, guru, professional, whatever you want to call him. I just want to say guru. You can find him on the team tab. Go to the team, scroll down, click on Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor. You can also see posts about him on facebook.com/wakeupcalldt, on Twitter at calldt, C-A-L-L-D-T. All over wakeupcalldt.com. Full injury report on the team tab, Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor, of all 32 teams. The shows are up there as well, and you're going to find so much more from Dr. Tim Whiting. So to finish things up, I'm going to let Tim give you his email once again, the work number to call at Stirp Chiropractic, and anything else you'd like to share.
Yeah, thank you again for having me. Guys, hope you enjoyed these episodes we've been doing. Again, feel free to reach out to me or Dan about any other questions, topics you guys want to talk about. I can prepare them before we come in. I'm going to try to post something we talked about earlier, some wellness tips for this upcoming flu and cold season, some natural things you can do to stay healthy. So look for those on Dan's page, as well as my chiropractic, or where I work at Stirp Chiropractic. So Facebook, search Stirp Chiropractic Center. You'll find that there, or myself, Timothy Whiting, on Facebook. You can email me directly at twhiting, W-H-I-T-I-N-G, 44, at gmail.com. Probably the best way to get to me. Also on Twitter, Dr. Whiting, 44. And then anything else, if you guys want to call, make appointments, call and talk to me at the office. You can call the office at 315-472-7128.
Sounds great. Thanks to Tim Whiting once again. Thank you to everybody that listened in. For myself, Dan Tortora, this is Wellness with Whiting. You will find everything around your wellness, your health, and all around getting better on the team tab, Dr. Tim Whiting, chiropractor, and so much more on wakeupcalldt.com. God bless. Be well. We'll talk to you soon.